Okay, good morning. Good morning. So, past years I've spoken a lot about some of the Rashis in the beginning of the Parsha, Parsha's Para. But let's take a look at an interesting Rashi that I think helps us understand how to deal with stress and tension and depression. How would you see this in Rashi? So, there's a point in the Parsha in Chukas where there's a minor insurrection. There's nothing, there's no flashpoint, there's no trigger point, it's not like they've received terrible, scary news about the land of Israel. There's no insurrection, as in the case of Korach. They have plenty of food to eat. But it's just a general feeling that this is dragging on too much. There's a lot of tension in the air. Miriam has died. Aaron has died. They've been barred entry into Edom, and anytime they face Esav, it's going to cause them a little bit of stress and trauma, because there's always this Esav part, and they still have the collective trauma of Amalek. They had a war with Melech Kenan. They won the war, but there were some captives. They had to reparate the captives. So there's nothing, there's no real sign of failure here, but there's just a lot of stress in the air. And the way the Torah describes the stress, which leads to their question, it's a one pasuk rebellion. And then, of course, the Nechashim come and bite them, and they die, and they perform some sort of tshuva, and the Nechash Nechoshes is erected. But when their stress is described, it's described in a very interesting phrase. Vatikzar nefesh ha'am badarach. Vatikzar nefesh ha'am badarach. Why is their stress described as vatikzar nefesh ha'am badarach? Why is that the phrase? They're not complaining, they're not arguing, they're not rebelling, they're not morim, as Moshe accused them at the rock. They're not poshim, they're not rishayim, rishayim badim mitoch eidah hara, they're not called ra, as Karach's called, they're not motzi. Why is the phraseology vatikzar, what does it mean, kotzer nefesh? We've seen kotzer ruach, that's in Parshas Vayera, and at least many Mefarshim there explain, the Ramban in particular, they just didn't have time to breathe. They're working, they're running, they're slaving, they're trying to meet the daily quota. So they just don't have time to think and don't have time. They're being rushed into the modern world of lack of time, lack of thought, lack of quiet, lack of focus. But that's not what's happening here. It's not Vatikzar Nefesh Ruach, it's Vatikzar Nefesh. So Rashi actually describes 2.5 ways to deal with stress. He describes Kotzer Nefesh, but before I describe Kotzer Nefesh, let's see a different way that Rashi describes stress and how to deal with it. This is the end of the Rashi. So I'm starting with the more obvious one, which is not in this pasuk, but Rashi draws it in. Rashi elaborates upon it as well. Rashi says as follows. Nofel bo uvedavar ha-matriach, when there's something that bothers you, that stresses you, matriach, that concerns you, nofel bo lashon gadol, or godel. Sometimes the Torah will use the word godel. Shegadol hu. It's very, very heavy, the kaved al ha'adam. And he quotes different psukim in Zechariah and Iov, neither of which has the word gadol in it, but each of which stresses that it's too hard for you. V'gam nafsham b'chalabi, the pasuk in Zechariah, parak yud aleph, v'yig'eh kashachal titzudeni. So one of the ways that stress appears to us is that it's very heavy. We're carrying around a heavy weight. It overwhelms. They feel overwhelmed in life that you're carrying things around that are too heavy for you, and you can't function, you can't carry them, and it makes you feel overwhelmed and intimidated. So that obviously the way to solve that is to be larger than the large. If stress and frustration and depression feels very heavy, try to be brave. Try to be, how do you become a large person? How do you become larger than the stress, to be able to carry stress on your shoulders? So you want to be a brave. It takes courage sometimes to face uncertainty, to face frustration. It takes confidence to say, well, whatever's stressing me, I'll face it and I'll be able to succeed and see it through. And of course, for a religious person, the ultimate confidence comes from emunah, bitachon Hashem. When David HaMelech says, Hashem salim sudasiyata, you're my rock, you're my stone, you're my salvation, you're my fortress, it means that you're looking for confidence, you're looking for something to hold on to. How do I know that I'll make the suez? I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide me the resources and the strength. So this is a phraseology of tension and tension management that doesn't appear in this pasuk, but Rashi draws it in because he's discussing the overall issue, and he quotes Pesukim in Tanakh, that sometimes stress and frustration is larger than you. sometimes you hear people using the phrase, be larger than that, be taller than that, be, it doesn't mean all of a sudden grow 5 inches or all of a sudden put on stilts. It means be a person that's larger, more courageous, more confident, more able to face the frustrations and the stress that come from challenges or uncertainty. Then there's another phrase that appears in this week's Parsha that Rashi is focusing on. What is it? Tiktzar nefesh. So listen carefully to Rashi. Kol davar kasheh al adam. He quotes the pasuk in Shoftim and in Zechariah, other psukim which describe frustration and stress with kotzer. Vatiktzar nafshi bohem. It's a pasuk in Zechariah, the same parak. Vatiktzar nafsho ba'mal Yisrael. Pasuk in Shoftim. Here's Rashi's explanation. Kol davar kasheh al adam. Whenever you face a challenge, nofil ba lashem kitzor nefesh. Contracting of your spirit. What does that mean? Ke'adam shahatoreach ba'alav, or hatorach ba'alav, the stress comes. Here's the key phrase in Rashi. Ve'ein da'atau rechava lekabelos el davar. You don't have a big enough heart to accept it. It's interesting, Rashi, very psychologically analytical. You don't have a heart that's rechava, that's wide enough to accept it, and then it becomes a little bit more visual. Ve'ein lo makom b'toch libo lagor shem oso tzar. You don't have enough space in your heart for that pain to reside. Your heart has to be wide in order to allow the pain to reside. And when people's hearts are not wide, they're described as matikzar. Their hearts are katzar. Their hearts are narrow. So what does it mean to have a heart that's wide and to be able to handle pain, to be able to handle frustration? So I think Rashi is referring to two things. First of all, and this is a very, very important message, you may not fully understand it now, but you really have to listen, store it away, and come back to it. I hope this settles into your consciousness, your subconsciousness, and one day you hear my voice in your head, or you hear other voices that will reflect this or resonate with this. When you're young, you think that life is perfect, and you think that if you just play your cards right, you won't have to live with pain. And if you don't suffer any tragedy, you don't suffer any trauma, you're hoping for that perfect life. When you get old and you mature, you realize there's always pain in life. There's always going to be pain. There are always things that will frustrate you. There's always things that will disappoint you. The relationships that will hurt you. And then, chas v'shalom, there could be terrible tragedies that you'll face that are beyond your control that you just have to live with and carry. There's an old expression in Yiddish, every single person carries a pekala in their life. A pekala means like a little baggage or a little weight. Everyone has their pekala. Everyone looks, especially in the world of Facebook and social media, everyone looks perfect. They're always making bar mitzvahs and simchas and eating in fancy restaurants and looking at nice cars and taking beautiful pictures of sunset. And then you realize that they don't post on Facebook all the challenges and travails they have to deal with. So part of it is just being able to live with pain. Being able to go on and having a heart that's, we'll talk about how to have a heart that's wide enough to live with pain. But listen to Rashi. Ein lo makom mitoch libo lagor shem oso tzar. What do you mean? I have to give a house to Tsar? I have to make a place in my heart for Tsar to live? It's a fascinating Rashi. Ein lo makom mitoch libo lagor shem oso tzar. What do you mean? I should eliminate the Tsar. I should see my therapist. That should be the answer in Parshas Chukas. All of Am Yisrael should see the therapist in the desert, find the local therapist, and eliminate the pain, eliminate the suffering. That's not what happens in life. Some pain you can eliminate. Some pain you just can't eliminate. So you either obsess about it, or you indulge in it, or you follow it into that little rabbit hole, and it becomes a very dark place. Or you just say, this is my reality. I'm going to live with pain, and I'm going to find a place in my heart for the pain to settle. And how do you do that if your heart is broad enough? What does it mean if your heart is broad enough? Well, first of all, if it's broad enough, that means there are other parts of that heart that are just as important, if not more important. And that's the difference between obsessing about pain as opposed to living with pain. Obsessing is about pain is you don't just give an apartment in your heart for pain. You give it a condo. You give it a skyscraper. You give it an entire neighborhood. You give it the entire heart. If you have a broad enough heart, you say, you know what, here's a building of happiness. Here's another building of happiness. This is what I'm happy about. This is what I'm interested in. But all these beautiful parts of my life, I'm going to give this little pain. I'll give it a little rental. I'll give it a little one-bedroom walk-up in Soho or something. I'm not going to let this pain take over the entire building zone. Chelsea. Is that going to be Chelsea? That's that place in London? Expensive?
Yeah, Chelsea.
I'm not going to give it Chelsea. I'll give it some little tenement in Golders Green or something to live in my heart. I'm not going to give it the entire section. So it means your heart is broad enough to have happiness and to appreciate what you've received and to really not just appreciate but really deeply identify with it. And also a broad heart means you have perspective. Whereas a broad heart means you see sweep and you see breath, and you realize everyone suffers in life, and yours isn't worse than anyone else's necessarily. And you see that generally these things tend to get smaller as time goes on. And it's not just a broad enough heart that's full of joy and other experiences, but a broad enough heart that has perspective and proportion. What really causes stress is it shrinks our perspective. We get so obsessed with it, and that becomes our life, and that controls us, and that defines us, and we live that. You speak to people who suffer great tragedies, and you see the people that make it through with success. The phrase that you always hear on their voices is, I'm not going to let it define me. I'm not going to let it define me. I'm going to continue my life. I'm not going to let it define me. So it's a fascinating, fascinating Rashi. It's extremely, people don't get the fact that Rashi is very, very psychologically astute. Rashi says two things. One is, the primary purpose, I'll reverse the order, Vatikzar Nefesh Ha'am Badarach. Their Nefesh became too narrow and contracted, too limited. What does Rashi say? Anything that's difficult, the Torah describes as Kitzur Nefesh, because when the stressors come, if you don't have a Daita Rechava, Lekabel Oso Adavar. Listen to Rashi, not to defeat it, not to explain it away, not to see your therapist. Lekabel, accept Oso Adavar. And if your heart is too narrow, Ein Lo Makom B'toch Libo Lo Gor Shem Oso Tzar. Your heart is too narrow, and their hearts were too narrow. They were a new generation. They didn't necessarily appreciate Mitzrayim and Yam Suf and Matan Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu's past the same way the earlier generation had. So they didn't have that Rachavas Halev. Their hearts were very katsar. Their hearts were very, very narrow. And when the pain came, when the stress came, when the fear came, they just didn't have a place for it in their heart. They didn't have the perspective to deal with it. And it erupted in a bit of an anger against Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Rashi says the other thing, which is unrelated to this pasuk, probably because he had quoted Zechariah in the first stage of the Rashi describing Kitzur Nefesh, so he quotes the end of the pasuk in Zechariah, that sometimes it's not just that our heart are too narrow, but we feel too small, we're midgets. You have to be larger than whatever challenge is. Larger means more confident, larger means more courageous, larger means more believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than, they're very, very different ways to deal with stress. One is accepting stress and letting it just settle and knowing that you're going to have to live with frustration and imperfection. Another one is the confidence you'll be able to solve most of your issues. They're very, very different responses. Okay? Just because we have, when this pasuk, I'll just quote one more very, very quick Rashi. It's a three-word Rashi and a two-word pasuk, but it's not necessarily a moral statement. It's just a very fascinating statement. Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim uver Moshe. Now, we read this pasuk very quickly. They spoke against Moshe and against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they complained, Lama ha'elisinu mi'mitzrayim. Rashi was very, very careful. If you look back at the earlier rebellions, especially in the early part of Sefer Bamidbar, which is the earlier generation, people don't realize that now in Chukas, we're in the 40 years later generation. So in the earlier rebellions, take a look at Balotzla, take a look at Shlach. It's a lot of complaining against Moshe Rabbeinu. And at some point, Moshe says, what are you complaining about me? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made this election. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All their anger and all their frustration is directed at Moshe. And Moshe then turns to them and says, it's not me, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are they bothering me? What are their mother? Can I show you some line to see your neck? They should be talking to you. Now they start talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. They're not, there's no longer this funneling and venting against Moshe. Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim uver Moshe. And Rashi notes that he says, Hishvu, this language of Rashi, Eved v'kono. Right now, as far as they're concerned, they're angry at Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. They're venting at both of them. Not just at Moshe and then Moshe. And then the next word in the pasuk, Lamehet li sunu. They're talking to two. Moshe and HaKadosh. Why did you both take us out of Mitzrayim? So it's fascinating to see the shift. That 40 years earlier, they were venting and taking out their frustrations in Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, they're taking out their frustrations in Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. What changes? Part of what changes, I think two things change. First of all is, Moshe is an older person. This is a different generation. They don't have the same relationship with Moshe. They weren't old enough to process Mitzrayim. Moshe was the hero of the Yitzias Mitzrayim generation. He was one of them. They grew up together. They had a culture. They had a dynamic together. And when they had anger, they took it out of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe, of course, is upset by it. He complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He tries to remind them. But at a certain point, that is the role of a Rebbe. And that is the role of anyone, is to be able to, I tell us sometimes, the best way to think of yourself as a father and a husband one day is to think of yourself as a vent. Because there's a lot of people in your life that have frustration, and they're going to take it out on you, and they're not really angry at you, they're angry at life. And people aren't really angry at rabbis or angry at religion in many cases. There are plenty of people that are angry at rabbis, in some cases justifiably so, but very often it's disappointment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's unfortunate, you have to see through it, but at a certain point it's good. It's good that they take it out on you, and it shows that they're engaged and they're interested, and instead of being angry and retaliating. And it's not Moshe's fault here, it just means that it's a different generation. He's an older man, he's 120 years old, and he's not part of the culture, they're not part of the culture, he didn't grow up listening to the same bands that they listened to in the desert top 100, there's a whole different culture, but they can no longer look to Moshe. Moshe is distant, that's why to a degree has to be replaced, because they don't have that same cozy relationship, and of course, they're more insolent towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of their venting against Moshe in the earlier generations is they just saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty and enormity and infinity at Har Sinai, so they wouldn't dare question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now, this is a generation that is a little more chuzpedek towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so their venting at Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is twofold. First of all, they don't see Moshe as their punching bag anymore, because he's not a punching bag, he's a revered, venerable leader who's much older than them, but also they're a little more insolent towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a very quick Rashi. It's a very, very deep Rashi. You read it very quickly. Okay, excuse me. If you look at this and compare this to the earlier sections, there's a vast, vast difference between what we're seeing here. And it's just a story about life and an ability to understand life, really understand your role in life. I guess the moral message would be, understand that when people are angry with you, most of the time they're not really angry with you. They're just angry and having a hard day and venting their stress, as we said here. They don't have a broad enough heart, and learning about people. In most cases, it's an inability to understand why they're really in a bad mood. They're in a bad mood because of anything you did, because of something that frustrated them. And since they're your child, or your spouse, or your parent, or your friend, or your chavrusa, hopefully not your rebbe, but sometimes rebbe's get in bad moods. That means a rebbe gets stressed. So they're angry about certain things that are hurting them, and learn to see past it and just say, okay, move on. Vent, and move on. Okay? Shabbat shalom. For all you budding psychologists out there, this is a good week of brushing.